This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day. Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. Other than listening to me, I don't know what it is you do at 11 o'clock. But whatever it is you do, I am happy that you are doing that do and that you decided to do that do with me. It's Thursday. I am opening the lines again this morning. Why? Because I am going to talk to you tomorrow about the orange economy, and I ain't sure if y'all can get no phone calls in then. All right, so let's talk. We can talk about a number of things. I kind of want to double back to this Speaker of the House of Assembly issue. I see that we are making it again an issue of gender. I don't think it is that. I think it is quite an issue of class. I've said this before. I will say it again. That I just don't think that these people believe that somebody that is neither a lawyer, a doctor, or an accountant can speak to them in a way that the speaker is doing so. And I don't think that she is out of depth at all. I think she is quite appropriate in her ruling. What I will say, though, is that unlike any parliamentary caucus that I've seen in my life's history, I don't know. Speakers are becoming so... so uncharacteristically speakerish, right? Like, so we've gone from speakers like the Italia Johnsons and the Arlington Butlers and the, was it Vernon Simonette and Oswald Ingrams? We've gone from those people who sat there and listened heavily to the debate, or the Alvin Smiths that just sat there and listened to the debate. And I, as a matter of fact, I would recall sometimes when Alvin Smith was the speaker that he would literally just sit there, sometimes as Hubert Ingram, all but drag Barry Christie across the floor of the parliament. And that was kind of what we anticipated the speaker to be. I remember Dr. Kendall Major. The same thing is to be said. I would remember Kendall Major would be sitting there. And a lot of times he would kind of just let them jar and spar across the floor of the parliament. But then came along Halson Moultrie, who in his very unorthodox way, many people would say became the talker of the house, as I affectionately called him, not the Speaker of the House, because that was the first time in the history of my life that I recall a speaker speaking so much. Typically, they just sit there. And, you know, Halson Moultrie had come up with all sorts of, again, very unorthodox things. Didn't want people taking pictures that wasn't approved by the parliament. Didn't want people using recording devices that wasn't approved by the parliament. But then he also proved the whole lot of the literature and that he was able to pull off a masterful coup from the chair against the reigning prime minister, right? Whatever it is worth, the PLP ought to be grateful for that maneuver on the part of the former speaker. It cost him his seat in it, but ultimately it also cost the FNM the election. The prime minister did not want to go back to the parliament with Halson Moultrie in the chair. I can't be convinced otherwise that that wasn't, in fact, a mitigating factor in or among the reasons why the prime minister, former, now member of Parliament for Killarney, called the election in September of this year. Well, we have gone from the talker of the House of Assembly to now the stander of the House of Assembly. And I have to say, in an unorthodox fashion again in Bahamian politics, I don't recall any speaker standing to their feet as many times in such a short period as this speaker here. Like, this speaker gets up for everything. And don't get me wrong, it's not unusual. Again, if you watch parliaments throughout the Caribbean, Trinidad and Tobago, I think, is a wonderful representation. They have a female speaker. She, too, likes to stand up. And so you have to wonder, right? You have to wonder whether or not, because we now have eyes in the parliament, because there was a time when this stuff would be invisible to us, and none of us would be any wiser as to what the protocols or what the practices were that were happening in the House of Assembly, right? And so now we have a speaker that understands the authority of standing to her feet, right? But if you play card games, you would know that in a game of pluck, you kind of don't play your trump card till you run out of players, right? And I don't know if her use of the authority to stand to her feet is going to become something that we see as trivial and menial, because she does it with such frequency, right? Like, she stands to her feet often, right? This is like maybe the sixth or seventh time I've seen the speaker on her feet. And that's unusual. It's uncharacteristically speakerish in the Bahamas, right? Our speakers typically do not get news coverage. Halsin Mulchi was probably the most popular news covered speaker I can recall. And now, of course, Mrs. Patricia DeVoe is very quickly becoming, I mean, so much so that she has pictures in the sideburns this morning, written or drawn by Jamal, what is his name? Jamal Rule, yes. And that's unusual. Like, the speaker don't ever get that kind of attention. But I will say it is not without good reason. And tempers flared in the House of Assembly the other day. The Member of Parliament for Killarney, and of course the Member of Parliament and Minister of Health, Dr. Michael Darvall, all but went to blows the other day. You remember Minister Element, you may knock your head off, eh? I must sit down. You come across here and tell me sit down, huh? This could be a two-hit fight. When I hit you, you hit the floor, yeah? Basically, that's what he said. This is leaving paraphrasing, right? And I keep telling you, don't play with Minister. Minister 6'2", 6'3". He got a reach of it, but that's like fighting Lennox Lewis. Don't bother with that. And the man have the biggest pair of hands I've ever seen. You may not want to fool with that, Dr. Michael Darvall. But I want you all to hear the explosion in the House of Assembly by Dr. Minnis and Dr. Darvall. I've played it before. We'll play it again. And then I want you to hear the speaker's pronouncement in the House of Assembly. And I want to say, I think she's absolutely right. And I think that Michael Pintard obviously had his feelings bruised. And that was why he responded the way he responded, and the laughter and the... And I think she was well within her right to dress him down. Now, I will also say, Westminster practices are quite interesting to me. Like, for instance, if you are an attorney and you stand before the Supreme Court and you don't wear your cloak, and there was a time before they ruled out the need for the wig, if you weren't in your cloak and wig, the court couldn't see you. So even though you came to the court with your affidavits all prepared and everything all prepared and submissions all prepared, except you draped yourself in your cloak, you were invisible to the court. The same is to be said in the House of Assembly. As long as you are not on your seat, the speaker cannot hear your voice. And so I am a bit disheartened that the speaker allowed Michael Pintard to rally her up with the heckling. I'm a bit disappointed that she didn't exercise a bit more temperament, because he was sitting down, so it didn't matter. If whatever you say while you're sitting down, I can't even hear you. And so that is something that she's going to have to learn to deal with. But I guess at that point, the tempers had already began to flare. She had already gone and considered it. And in her consideration, she came back to make her pronouncement and possibly didn't intend to have any opposition. And that opposition obviously triggered the chair. Now, if the chair is going to get respect, the chair has to work on her triggers, right? And this ain't a him and her thing. I think, again, that this is a class thing, because I don't think that they would heckle just any speaker. I feel like the reason they do this is because they're not sure that they agree with the government that this person was the most suitable pick for a speaker. That remains to be seen, and I don't think it matters what the opposition thinks. All right, so let me let you hear Dr. Michael Davila and Dr. Bittis. I just will play this again because this is funny to me. I listened to it 3 o'clock this morning when I couldn't sleep. So I'm going to let you all hear it, and then we're going to go on to what the speaker had as a response. Dr. Michael Davila and Dr. Hubert Bittis.
You asked me or you instructed me?
No, I must be completed with the loan.
You don't have to complete nothing. I ride on a point of order.
You stop.
Sit down, man. I rise on a point of order.
You telling who sit down?
Because come here, members, honorable members. Honorable members? Honorable members.
Come here.
Honorable member?
So you see, Dr. Bittis tell him, say, who you tell him, sit down, boy? I from being down and out. You ain't know today. You come here, you come here, tell me sit down. Huh? Think I just play? And knock your head slack. And so, Alan, that you shouldn't be having this much fun, you know. And so that was what exploded between the two doctors, the member of parliament for Killarney, and because I'm not calling him that other thing. And the now Minister of Health, right? And so the speaker went in, and I guess she did whatever deduction she had to do. And here is what she came out and said, which was why, I guess, the frenzy in social media about her mannerisms. The word is gesticulations, right? So I don't think her rulings are unsound. I think, though, she wears her emotions on her face. And that is just who she is, and not because she gesticulates in a way that makes you uncomfortable mean that she is inappropriate in her ruling. Because if you was listening to her on radio, you wouldn't be able to tell. Yeah? All right, let's go to the speaker.
No member will tell me what is a point of order or not from this day forward. I'm here to bring respect to this chair. And whether you like it or not, respect will be given from all sides. I'm ashamed of the behavior today, and it will not go any further. Now, I want you to go and think on those things. Pointing. Is it funny? Is it funny? As a member, is it funny? I want to know, is it funny? Did I make a joke?
I laughed.
Why? Say to me why you're laughing. Now listen here. I didn't crack a joke. And let me tell you something.
Did you give me an opportunity to speak?
No. I don't need to hear from you. You crying? It's funny.
You said you asked a question.
I said, is it funny? Just answer yes or no.
You're not talking to children.
I am not talking to children. But do not act as children. Do not act as children.
Come on.
Do not act as children. And don't. Listen. I am standing now. I am standing in this house. So, sister, please have a seat. Please have a seat. I am standing in this house, and I said what my likes and my dislikes are. Okay? And it's not funny, but you laughed. You're making a mockery of the chair. No, you're making a mockery because you laughed. And the people of this country are watching. No. I said on both sides. Did I not say that? Did I not say on both sides? You know, and I am ashamed.
And so, what you hear there is, I think that's Adrian Gibson that I hear in the background saying, "Oh, you need to dispense of the rules fairly." And I think she was quite fair. She said, "Listen to me, this bunch of childish behavior y'all got going on in House of Assembly about who can knock who head off and all that kind of nonsense. Never again let it happen, as long as I sit on this bench, and I mean both sides." And she said that. I thought that was quite fair. Dr. Michael Davil was a bit hot under the collar, but so was Dr. Bittis. And I think that Dr. Bittis has a greater responsibility to exercise temperament as a former prime minister. He ought to understand what good parliamentary behavior looks like. Dr. Michael Davil, just get back. He might have forget. He was living a civilian life. He didn't remember how you're supposed to behave in here, right? He might have still thought this was a bar somewhere on Pioneer's Way. He might have forgot. But Hubert Bittis don't have the luxury of saying that. He literally just came out of the parliament as its prime minister. And so I thought the speaker was well within her right. And Michael Pintard, for whatever it's worth, laughed at the speaker. I will tell you this, Madam Speaker, if I can lend you some advice. I say things to people all the time, not because they laugh at me and I'm joking. You could take it to be whatever it is. I say what I say. And don't make me knock your lock slack. I said what I said. Laugh all you want. The shark showing you his teeth too, but ain't nobody tell the shark no joke. Okay, all right? And so, again, maybe it's because she's a woman. I don't know. Maybe because it's just who Patricia DeVoe is. She has a level of deportment that is responsive. And I think maybe that is something she has to work on during her time in the chair. That'll definitely be 5 years unless the Lord calls her home. Because Alison would reprove that she can't fire the speaker. And I want the people of the Bahamas to not be so unfair in their critique or criticism of the speaker. Because again, like I said, in 1973, this would have all been on the radio and we wouldn't have been able to see the speaker. And so none of her mannerisms would matter to us. We would only be able to rely on her rulings, which I still believe is pretty sound. Now, the thing I take a bit of offense with is the fact that Glenys Anna Martin saw this as her one chance to shine in the sunshine and make this about woman. And I don't understand how. I don't understand how this turned into just because she's a woman and Jobette Colby-Davis get up, of course, the Honorable and the Honorable, get up talking about how, you know, there was another speaker that didn't treat woman right and all kind of things about woman. I don't understand what this was about. And so I don't think it is gender at all. I think Michael Pintard pointed that out, that it had nothing to do with gender. But I do believe that Michael Pintard is being disingenuous in acting as though there isn't an issue. Because the issue that I can see that is glaringly obvious is that it is about class. All right, let's play this. Let's play the last clip with Glenys Anna Martin and Jobette Colby-Davis and all of this trying to make it a, you know, feminist movement, something. Go on.
This as she also defended Speaker Patricia DeVoe and accused the opposition of being hypocritical. Hannah Martin slammed the former speaker's behavior as egregious, noting that she was even banned from using the words straw market in the House of Assembly.
But I was here, and that was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in this parliament. Mm. Because I could not speak, I was treated differently, I was oppressed, and so for you and the nation saw it.
Hannah Martin was responding to Marcos City MP Michael Pintard, who said all members of parliament should be treated with respect. She told Pintard that when she sat as a member of the governing party, they spent a whole day on a debate to name her.
When the speaker called people powder puff, attacked the wives of members, and the most egregious language and assault and attacks, but you didn't think that it rose to that level. So I'm shocked that you see anything that happened in this parliament post September 2021 that makes you so uncomfortable. But all of a sudden now you take some righteous positioning on the positions taken by this speaker. And on the only point being made is there appears to be a level of hypocrisy and disingenuous positioning on the matter.
Before Pintard and Hannah Martin went head to head, he and Elizabeth MP Jobeth Colby-Davis had a brief back and forth after Colby-Davis voiced support for the House Speaker following a row on Monday evening in the House. DeVoe said she was ashamed of the way members from both sides behaved during the debate. After one of her comments, a member of the opposition accused DeVoe of talking to them as if they were children. Colby-Davis says it was interesting that those in opposition, who were all members of parliament when Moutrie was speaker, did not defend Hannah Martin at the time.
I am here to support you. As a woman, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you in your role as a leader of this house. And I recall another person that sat in that seat and the way they treated and spoke to a female member representative who now sits today as acting PM. And what was interesting is, we look across the room, everyone opposite me was present. I did not see the fight that I saw against you.
Pintard, however, accused Colby Davis of making the issue about gender.
Madam Speaker, again.
I did not say that.
The member for Angleston is a valiant warrior who in every instance she felt as if she was being aggrieved, took a firm position, and I applaud that. I think the member knows very well what my position is. What I am concerned about is the attempt to give the impression that the protection that, Madam Speaker, that you deserve from anyone seeking to disparage you, I support. We support.
Reporting for Guardian News Network, I'm Jasmine Brown.
So I don't really know when they made this a thing about man and woman, but, you know, I think the speaker is, you know, well within the realm of good judgment. And that's where I stand on it, all right? Let's take a couple of phone calls. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can text me on 4224796. Text right here says, Speaker's understanding of her role come over as stunningly superficial that I'm embarrassed for her. She is unwittingly allowing the system is making a mockery of her. She had demonstrated that she is emotionally unfit for the role. How did you come to that conclusion, text writer, if her rulings are, you know, based in sound judgment? There's nothing inappropriate about her ruling. There's also nothing inappropriate about her telling members of the House that they will respect the chair. There's nothing wrong with her getting to her feet if she deems that control of the House is outside of her grasp and she wants to retain or regain control. I don't understand how you come to the position that she's allowing herself to be exploited by the system with superficiality. Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Damon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just great, man. But you always have got an exciting show. But, you know, it is true what those men that speak to that speaker that way, what they say. It is true that they are not children, you know.
I agree.
What it is that they are cowards. Because here it is that they wait until they get a woman speaker to confine their balls, their tenacity, and their voice,
mm-hmm.
okay, to actually denounce her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they were all sitting in that minister's cabinet and did not say a word to him. Couldn't say boo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but all the foolishness ministers, they couldn't say a word. Did not say a word, and now they got the tenacity to denounce a woman. And me inside the inner city has got to put up with this every day on the radio. What type of men they want me to respect them as? They're cowards.
I don't know. I mean, the behavior of the two doctors was a bit, you know.
Yeah, that too.
But and so I don't think the speaker was wrong. I think the speaker was very right to come back
exactly.
out.
Exactly, the speaker is right.
Right, and okay. come and say, listen, that ain't the kind of behavior that you just get away with
no,
in here.
Because those boys in Camp Road, they see that, well, they're going to do the same thing and think it's okay to do that.
Right.
The boys in Nassau Village, the boys in the Grove, okay. And these people now, they were in office.
Now, I will say this. The speaker obviously read her morning devotional that morning because, you know, in the morning devotionals, they end by saying, think on these things as you go yes. throughout the day, right?
Yeah.
And so she obviously read a page out of her devotional pamphlet that morning. And she probably just threw that in for colorful language. Obviously, Michael Pintard took offense by that statement. But again, what was wrong? Now let me make sure I am clear on this. I do not appreciate Ms. Glennis Hannah Martin, who I believe is a gladiator in politics, nor do I appreciate Jobed Colby Davis trying to make this a woman. And this has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that the speaker is a woman. Nothing at all. And I don't like when people try to pull the gender card or the race card on me.
But if see, you've got to look at it too. Yeah, from the point of view that that the people in that I'm over the hill area, and even in Elizabeth Estate, and I'm from Bingo Gardens, they all look at this differently, you know, because mm-hmm. you may say what you say just now and don't believe that is the way it is, but then they may believe exactly opposite, mm-hmm. you see.
All right, sure, appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
323-625-4316-325-4259. Let me also say, can I also say that Hubert Minnis said something that I agree with, and I know lightning will probably strike me on my way to the parking lot, but I agree with him, right? I think that it was a bit of an embarrassment that there are Johnson & Johnson vaccines that are going to expire or that have recently expired. Like, I'm sure we could have come up with a better plan. Like, and you have to come up with a plan. That is how you govern. You have to come up with a... There is no way we should have vaccines expiring on us. That is certainly something we should be embarrassed about. Believe it or not, I completely agree with Mr. Minnis on that one. This here says, you saying that her ruling was based on sound judgment is subjective and not facts. But what? Okay, well then, you would have to convince me otherwise. How are you going to convince me otherwise? Go on. As a woman in position, I do not want to be compared to a man, particularly one whose performance was dismal at best, but rather to best standards. And I'm telling you that if you look at the rules of the House, you will see that the behavior of the speaker, the rulings of the speaker to date have not been flawed. They've been pretty sound based on what are her, the rules that govern her and based on what is the common practice. She's not been, again, I've not ever seen in my life's history, and maybe you've seen something different. I've never seen a speaker stand to their feet this much, right? But I also had never seen a speaker speak as much as Alton Moultrie before. None of these things are outside of the realm of their allowance. They are allowed to do this. They are, in fact, the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House of Assembly. This is the Speaker's house. It is the people's house, but it is certainly the people's house that the Speaker has oversight of. The Speaker isn't answerable to anyone in there. And so she's not outside of the realm of allowance. All right? This says, Leva and I'm a woman, and it's not just about the speaker's tone, but about her performance. Nobody in their right mind watching the speaker's performance over the last few days could say that she was doing a good job and representing us women in a dignified manner. Yes, I believe that some of the men in the House of Assembly, maybe most, don't respect her in that position, but she should not denigrate herself to prove her authority, rise to the occasion, and preside over the House of Assembly in such a manner that she is respected for her stellar performance, whether they like her or not. And I'm telling you that I think she's well on her way to that. She probably got maybe wear a face mask or something. She obviously wears her emotions on her face. But her ruling her positions taken are not flawed. They're, as far as I can see, Sharon Turner also wrote a wonderful piece, I think about a week and a half ago, and pointed out or alluded to all of the same things that I just said, that the rulings are sound, the positions are sound. There will not, this use of electronics in the House of Assembly, it will not be tolerated because they will not disrupt the proceedings of this House. So fix it. I don't care where you all put them, don't bring them here. All right? Albeit this 2021, and I can't imagine anybody sitting down for 6 hours without their cell phone, right? She is not outside of her right to tell them that. Okay, let's go a little further. This one here says, Leave and I find it so weird that Italia Johnson's name hasn't come up as yet. Did everyone forget how ruthless she was in the House? Brother Levin, I wanted to relive the fight between Sonny Liston and Cassius Clay, Triller in the Parliament of the Bahamas, refereed by the Speaker of the House of Assembly. Love it, from Grand Bahama. This here says, man, listen, that speaker wasting totally, what is this? That speaker was in, this is in English. Out of order, the way she spoke to those grown men like they were in a class in primary school, and I am also a woman. This one says, who is going to be respectful given that style of behavior? It's streety. You mean the speaker's behavior? You could call me, you know, 323-623-2-3254-316-325-4259. This one says, oh, Levin, it's a matter of class. That chair wasn't classy. I am sorry. She does seem very much out of her depth all the facial expressions and gesturing and pointing fingers that ain't necessary. I take her point. They are childish and need decorum. No member will tell her what is the point of order, what the parliamentary rule says, right? Yes, the parliamentary rule says that the speaker rules whether or not your statement is a point of order. So you could say, Mr. Speaker, Madam Speaker, I rise on a point of order. She said, what is the point of order? The man say the wall is blue. She said, that has nothing to do with this argument. Yes, but I'm telling you, this is a point of order. Like Dr. Davil said to Dr. Minister, sit down, man, I rise on a point of order. No, Dr. Davil, you don't get to determine that. The speaker determines whether or not your point that you wish to make is in fact a point of order, and she will then request that the member that was standing before should yield. That is how it should work. And all she's saying is, y'all don't go around here like this a barroom fight. You bring your requests through the chair. Members of the House aren't allowed to talk to one another. They talk to the chair. And that is how it should work. So this jarring y'all got going across, sparring y'all got going across this floor, stop it now. Other than that, I can come down there, and it could be me and y'all, and take my word for it, it could be a whole lot more me than y'all. End it today. Basically her point. Okay? I will say what my likes and dislikes are. Not just her mannerism. Go think on these things. Really, I don't need TV to see that was condescending and speaking to grown people like children. That is how my teacher used to scold us and then tell us, go think on these things. The Padre of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force also says, think on these things as you turn two today. So it depends. You know, they read that stuff in their morning devotionals. They think it's cute, and they use it in their everyday language. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Levon. How are you this morning?
I feel good. How are you?
I'm great. Listen, Levon, if they're supposed to be grown men in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they act as grown men so the speaker wouldn't have to talk down to them if that's what they're thinking? But realistically speaking, Michael Pintard and Dr. Hubert Minnis, they knows better, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you chuckle while the speaker is making a point, you don't expect for the speaker to respond?
Right, but come again, on, like I said, Westminster mm-hmm. systems, right?
Yeah.
Designed this unrealistic human thing. Like I said, when you go in the Supreme Court, no matter how much reams of paper an attorney brings, if he or she isn't cloaked in the, you ever see that black robe that they wear?
Black robe.
The court cannot see them.
You're right.
They are invisible to the court. I don't care how good this argument is.
You're correct.
It is the same as to be said about the parliament. Until you stand on your feet, the speaker cannot hear you.
Yes.
I'm saying that Patricia DeVoe would do good to probably start drinking liquor in the Grove so people could curse at her a little bit more.
Right,
and she could become more accustomed to ignoring sidebar noise. You understand my point?
Yeah, I understand.
Because
your point.
Until he stands, what he says is of no consequence. I can't hear him. No one could hear him.
You're correct.
Right.
You're correct on that. But there's another thing. Those men are experienced in the House of Assembly. They're not children like they say. Well, why are they acting like kids? Huh? If you don't want nobody to speak to you in that decorum, don't act that way.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and it's about time we have someone in the House Assembly that can make those men do the right thing, eh? Because not only us as grown persons are watching, we have kids also watching Parliament.
Right.
And it's about time that we have some kind of decorum in Parliament. And if you notice her decorum yesterday, it was totally different. And I'll tell you this, she's going to get better and better as the days goes by.
I believe so as well. Thank you very much, caller. 323-623-2325-4316. This here says, the speaker set the stage for this reaction from the first day she acted. The head movement, the tones, the behavior. She set the stage. It's a new day. Set a new standard. Be different. Let's get on with the people's business. Use your gavel and make a ruling. If you have rude parliamentarians, and be done with it. No rowing and back and forth makes the speaker look angry and weak. Okay. I tell you what I think she need to do. Come to the corner in the Grove, let us scream at you a couple times and use profane language in your direction until you no longer could hear us. And then when you get good at that, you go back in the House of Assembly and you'll be the best speaker in the world. How does that sound? Because that's technically what it takes. You only need to be able to hear the people that are on their feet speaking. And anybody else, don't matter to the chair. I mean, of course, you don't let them cause complete chaos in the house. But if you laugh, you keep laughing. Laugh till your teeth fall out. I can't even hear you. It's basically the kind of temperament you need to have a speaker. All right? But like I said, I think she's galvanizing herself in the position. We've gone from the talker of the House of Assembly, that was Halton Muldry. We now have the stander of the House of Assembly, that is Patricia DeVoe, because she uses that power to get up every chance she has. It's new to me, But it's her style, and so we'll see how it works. The speaker set the stage for the reaction. I read that already. One more. Let's see. This says, "Hello, Levin. Like you, I'm taken aback by Hannah Martin's denigration or submission to Moultrie. Notwithstanding Moultrie's position as a speaker, he way junior to her as a counsel and politician. Moultrie is not on her level. She was obviously coming to the aid of the current speaker." This year says, "Hi, Levin. The issue is not about gender issues, but because it is certainly not in my estimation, it appears that the speaker has an ineptness to control her house without wearing her emotions on her shoulders. I'm now feeling suspect about her being the proper choice." I hear my music. That means I'm going to break. Before I go to a break, Zora, the man tell me, if I don't tell you happy birthday, he ain't playing with me. I ain't gonna have no radio station to broadcast on. I like coming here. I don't want to not be able to come here. I want to come here every day and do this show just for you, Zora. All right, so happy birthday. I'm so sorry I missed it. I was supposed to say it from Monday. So please tell them that I send you the shout out, because if you don't tell them I send you the shout out, I scared of what I live my life in fear. I live my life in fear. Levin Miller, yeah, it's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're going to break. Don't move.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
Food security is a challenge for many. Now in a pandemic, many more are unsure of their next meal. Through their Feed 5000 program and a $20,000 donation, AML is working to ensure that everyone has a meal for the holidays, and they're inviting you to help. Now until December 17th, visit any Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, or Domino's in Nassau or Freeport, and Exuma Markets in Georgetown to donate and help feed a family in need this Christmas. No amount is too small. Remember, we're all in this together.
It's happening, and it's all straight talk with no chaser. As Levin Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be smart talk, ideas, and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., only on Guardian Radio. Your station for fresh news and smart talk. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thank you so much for staying with me. Levin Miller is back. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That means I'm unleashed on your radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. Let's go straight to the text line. You can call me 323-623-2325, 431-623-2425-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. This text right here says, "One aspect to determine a leader's performance is communication. You cannot, in leadership roles, talk to people, your peers, any way you deem fit. One of the reasons attributed to Margaret Thatcher's fail at the hands of her parliament colleagues, even after being elected by the people, was the way she spoke and dealt with her male colleagues. A skillful female politician will accept these nuances and work them to her advantage." There was also a good point made by someone, and they said, and I want to make sure I read this because this is actually pretty decent. Basically, what they're saying is that I've always said that the occupants of the speaker's chair should be the most erudite in the chamber because you don't get to train in the chair. And I think that was actually Sharon Turner's position as well. That technically, senior members of the parliament should be considered for speaker because it brings with it a level of reverence and understanding. People automatically assume that if you've been there long enough, you have an understanding of what the job of the speaker is and you will do that effectively. And you don't get as many challenges from those that have sat in the chamber longer than you, or even from those that are, popular or the Mr. or Mrs. Congenialities of their political organizations because they feel like they have such fanfare attached to them. And so there is a level of seniority and sobriety that comes with members of the House that have sat there on occasion or occasion after occasion and then ascend to the speakership. But unfortunately, regrettably in the Bahamas, we don't understand the way the Westminster works. And because we do not, all of these people want to pack themselves up in the cabinet like a bunch of little monkeys where they are, for all intents and purposes, powerless to the whim and desire of a prime minister. Because at whatever point they disagree with him, they no longer have power. Unlike the Speaker of the House of Assembly, who, as long as they don't die or go to jail, they pretty much have unlimited power in the House of Assembly. Let's take the call. Good morning, call. You're on.
Morning, Mr. Miller. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, Mr. Miller. Some of the things that you were saying, I was thinking about. Then you said the fellas in the background, they could talk once they not on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
You said they allowed to speak and mumble and chuckle and all that. That really sounds a little childish for me for them to be doing that, you know.
Well, I mean, but you don't expect people to sit down for 6 hours and say nothing. That's how you develop bad breath. They sit down for 6 hours and say absolutely nothing. That is almost unhuman to imagine that it could happen that way, right?
Yeah, but Mr. Miller, you remember a couple of those people and they sit down and wasn't saying nothing in the last government, you know. Some of them fellas, you didn't even know they was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And remember Don Sanders get up and was pointing at Brave Davis and all that kind of crap and calling his whole name.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
I think I remember it, yeah.
People don't remember Don Sanders. They only could remember Moultrie and this new lady.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, right now, the crew who in there, they really believe they still in charge and they need to get put in their place. I can't blame them. Boy, I would have been hot with them a little while now.
Well, they got what is it, 47 more months? No, they got 57 more months. They got to get used to seeing her. It's just as simple as that.
They might get 2/3 out of them.
Well, let's see. Let's count it. Let's count it 60 months at a time. Don't get ambitious.
So what are you only saying now, boy? Because, brother,
for whatever it is, boy, like or hate her, you got 57 months to stare at Patricia DeVoe. Get boy, used to it.
Yes, I wish them luck, but boy. Ain't playing with them.
Yeah, and they are going to have to either bend or break because the speaker doesn't change.
Well, I like how she's trying to put
and
it
if,
in
and if you and
I
if you protest
doing it because she's a woman, you know.
If you protest the speaker, right? Michael Pintard isn't unaware of what the rules are. If you protest the speaker, move a vote of no confidence in her. Why not try that? Why not say, man, this woman is definitely a mistake. Vote of no confidence. Why don't do that? Because they could do it.
I believe they only doing that. They trying to flex their muscle, because you know this all boys club. They're just trying to flex their muscle now to see what they could run over her boy. But I'm glad that she just stay firm.
Mm-hmm.
And don't play with them.
I think they'd be sadly mistaken, Colin. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, Mr. Miller, have a good day.
All right, so this one you say, so from what the man Texas is saying, if a man is acting childish, a woman can speak to him in any type of way, any tone, any manner. I just want to be clear on what we are saying. I don't know who said that. Brother Miller, just helping, this one here says, Brother Miller, just helping a good brother out. Happy, joyous, blessed boy day to Zora in the Bahamas. Congratulations at a joyous special occasion. See that, Zora? Even the text writers will tell you happy boy day. That's the kind of power you all got. The fella tell me, if you don't tell Zora happy boy day, come to this corner again, see if you leave it in the back tire. And I like my back tire. I don't have to walk. I tell you, I live my life in fear. Because it always happens this way in the House, too. What am I reading here? The speaker said the stage. I read that already. Because it always happens this way in the House, do not make it right. Let's do the people's business with more decorum and better behavior. Okay. This one here says, I really feel and sympathize for the woman speaker DeVoe. I am a woman and many men tell me I will do good in politics. I tell them, go for it. I have no lust for power. Woman in Bible called weaker vessel. And the way men and some women act, especially in politics, they act like they disrespect, undermine, and deliberately use arrogant, what is this? Chauvinistic and on a witch hunt and condescending, this is a lot of adjectives, towards women. Sad but true, especially in the Bahamas, women in leadership catch more hell and stress than men. This one here says, hi, how you feel about our government recommending to send expired vaccines to other countries. I wanted to read that story. I couldn't really understand what that meant. But it is a shame. It is a shame that we allowed those vaccines to expire. I don't care if we had to give out free plane tickets. Just make sure you use the vaccines. And that was the one jab ones, right? This just says, my Haitian buddy said he's going to get his second shot tomorrow. I hope he's not getting the expired shot. Minutes started it. This just says, leaving. The FNM don't like her for three reasons. She is PLP, they lost the election, and classism. They say she is a hot dog sales lady, nothing about being a woman. She didn't have problem with cells and computers. She have a problem with them going off and making noise. She said, put them on silent or leave them at home. Minnis started it. He told Davil, the speaker, he was yielding to a point of order until he finished saying, he wasn't yielding to a point of order until he finished saying what he wants to say. They still think they empower. I agree with you. I agree with you, text writer. This one here says, it was very disrespectful for the honorable members to laugh at the speaker. But let's be honest. It was funny when she said, think on these things. Real talk. Minnis and Davil was jokey too. This is classic comedy. No, Allenton, have you ever read the Daily Bread? Do you guys have the Daily Bread at home? Yeah, at the bottom of the page, it always says, think on these things as you go throughout your day. So I believe the speaker was just using a little bit of religious undertone. She wanted to make sure that you know that she read her Daily Bread that morning. And, you know, let me also say, I to Annie Fanny Gourmet Pancakes, what a delightful surprise, right? It's so amazing. I love when people love me, you know. It's so titillating. I came, there was Annie Fanny, the last time I heard gourmet anything, I used to be a recruit in the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, and there was a chef there, Dre, Big Dre, right? And Dre would wake us up in the morning, in the middle of training. I trained in January, so it would snow in Coral Harbor. If you know anything about Coral Harbor, whatever the degree is in New Providence, dial it down 10 degrees, and that is what the temperature is on Coral Harbor, right? So on a morning like this morning, it's snowing in Coral Harbor. And we would wake up, and some mornings I would say to myself, man, I really could use some sauce this morning. Nope. Dre would have good old gourmet oatmeal for us. Gourmet oatmeal, or sometimes it'll be grits and gourmet toner, right? And so I appreciated that, but to Annie Fanny, I want to say thank you very much. I appreciate you very much. You're so kind to me. Leaving body language speaks volume. You have it or haven't you heard? Yes, but I'm saying, if we didn't have TV in the parliament, and I know we do have it, so you have to act like we have it. But if we didn't have, like when Winston Churchill in 1943 was giving his broadcast over VHF radio, about the updates on the war. You don't think at some point this man looked tired and stressed out? He was in the middle of a war. But he was able to invigorate the population with his voice. And it's because they couldn't see his face. The coronation of Her Majesty, when she took over and gave her first address as queen, documentaries suggest that she was terrified. But no one saw that. Why? Because it was all on radio. All I'm saying is, in this new era where everything is on camera and we could see everything now, it would serve the speaker well to learn facial temperament. And like I said, I suggest she comes to the local community watering holes and sit down and let us shout at her loud, because we used to do that every day, shout at people loud, to the point that it no longer bothers her facial expression. But I think it would also do us well to learn that, you know, there was a time you couldn't see this. It wouldn't have mattered to us anyhow. And see if we could remove ourselves from our emotionalism and actually look for how sound the ruling is or whether the ruling is flawed. I think that serves us well. Because you think judges don't get emotions? You never been in somebody's court, eh? Somebody's judge act like Dejianti. But you don't get to see it. When you read the judge's ruling in the newspaper, right? You don't get to see the judge's facial expression. Like, John Isaacs made a ruling against the Attorney General's office a year ago. And some of the language John Isaacs used in that article, I fell out the chair with laughter. I can't imagine he said any of that with a straight face. But it didn't matter, because we don't get to see his lordship's face. We only get to hear his pronouncements and his judgment. That's it. All right? Do I have more text messages here? No, I don't. Let me make sure. Oh, yes, I do. Mr. Miller, only a fool despises wise counsel. She was doing her job giving wise counsel on how to behave in the House of Assembly. The House is full of fools. Time for a change. Behave in the House. It's a new day. This one here says, great show as usual. So it's a crime to laugh now? No, it's not. Of course it is classism in the House of Assembly. For example, if the Coconut Boys worked for radio stations after one day, try tell me and try to tell you what to do on your job, you would tell him, if he don't go climb a coconut tree, I probably wouldn't. It just says, the caller is talking nonsense. It is what it is. How some people over the hill take a very clear situation is on them. That's a personal issue. Leaving it has nothing to do with her being a woman. She was fair from the little I heard. But I think Pintard, seeking to be the future prime minister, wanted to make an impression. But this entire gender nonsense needs to stop. It's just a cop-out and an excuse used for clout. Okay. Okay, I do think I have all now. Nope, there's one more. This one here says, what does it say? The song, Gal, Tell Me That Again, I Am a Better Cat Island Woman. I guess. All right. Is that my time? That's my time. Let's get the music. Anyway, that's my time. I'm out of time. I'm Lieber Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Zora, happy birthday, my dear. And to Annie Fanny, Gourmet Pancakes, thank you very much. All right? I'm Lieber Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move the news. It happens now. Oh, Lord.